spotlights on the patio, it's time to highlight all the different people we talk to on the mic. Different variations and facets of life. Kicking it with Kim, she about to take us on a ride. Your favorite podcast, you can tune in worldwide. Close your mouth and just open up your mind. Listen with your heart, you never know what you'll find. The conversations we have is like gold mines. So pick up all the jewels, all the gems and the tools. Nothing's off limits, we don't follow the rules. More like dialogue, more than an interview. About to break the internet, Kim will keep you in the loop. The spotlight's on the patio, it's time to highlight all the different people we talk to on the mic. Different variations and facets of life. Kicking it with Kim, yeah, she about to take us on a ride.
What's up, y'all? Thank y'all for coming to Kick It With Me on the Patio with Kim podcast, where we're bridging friendship through conversation. I'm Kim, and tonight I have the honor of Brian being on my show as company to talk about coping with loss. Welcome, Brian. Thank you for coming through.
Appreciate you having me.
So how you been doing?
Been doing all right. Like I said, just this new single dad thing going on, but, you know, taking a day at a time. And I ain't gonna lie, it's a little fun having a little man run around, give me some life back.
I get that. So, seeing, you know, around this time of year, everybody's always talking about, you know, the holidays and things that have happened over the holidays and stuff. And to me, it always correlates with missing somebody during those holidays. So, you know, everybody has some type of loss. And I think talking about loss is really important. So I would like to know if you share, you know, your special person with us today.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like I said, I'll be 46 this year. And, you know, I've lost family members, you know, in the past and stuff like that. but I think the one that hits the most, and it's the most recent one, is my younger brother, Patrick. You know, it's kind of unexpected, you know, and it caught everybody off guard. But you know, just I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I won't interrupt.
Oh, no, it's all right.
I was gonna ask you to let us know, you know, a little bit about Patrick and you know, how y'all were.
Well, looks at Patrick, he's my younger brother by, man, I want to say about, what was I born at 78. 85. I'm bad at bass, so hold on. He's about 7 years younger than me. But he was the baby brother, you know. I'm the oldest. Then you got my middle brother, Earl or Willie. And then you got Patrick. Then you got my baby sister. But Patrick's always been like the baby, you know what I'm saying, out of the boys. And, you know, growing up, you know, we did the older brother thing, you know, tease him, you know, mess with him, stuff like that. And, you know, we had a little, you know, the sibling rivalry and stuff like that, you know, growing up. But we still always had each other's back as brothers, as family, you know. And, you know, we tease and stuff like that, but only family can do that. Anybody outside family do that, it's a problem. Like, nah, step off, man. It's, you do it, you're not his brother. So go ahead. But as we got older, you know, because like I said, me and my middle brother, we had left the house, joined the military and everything. So it was just my sister and my younger brother, Patrick. So they grew up together, kind of. So they got a history together as well. But as we was adults, you know, I used to say, because my brother, man, Patrick was the type to be like, if you go do anything, like, that you don't want nobody to know, don't do it around him. Because he'll tell. He'll tell, man. He'll tell you he's not going to tell, but he'll tell.
But I'm not getting in trouble.
Yeah, that's how he was. He'll take the heat off of him and put it on us. You know what I'm saying? So, my nickname for him, I used to call him Channel 5 News, man. So, man, get out of here, man. Can't do nothing around Patrick.
I was a Patrick at one point.
You were Patrick. Nah, but that's all he was, man. That's the dynamic of the relationship that we had. You know, it was understanding. But as we got older, you know, he went off, he joined the Navy and everything, and, you know, tried to follow what everybody's footsteps. Everybody did the military thing but my sister. But when we got older, we had our little, you know, differences and stuff like that. Not to really, like, you know, get all in the detail about it, but just to give a little general, you know, idea about my brother. Like I said, he did the Navy, got out. When he was younger, we kind of teased him a little bit because we thought he was kind of a little soft, or, you know, lack of better words, like my era. We used to call it, oh, man, you act like a punk, you know, this, that, whatever. You know, but...
I'm going to 75, so I already know.
Yeah, so stuff like that. But he, because while I was in the military still, I guess he kind of came out the closet, I guess, to me. And, you know, the way our family was, we kind of like didn't grow up around that type of environment, whatever. But I've said some choice words to him and stuff like that, and, you know, sort of how I felt and things like that. But I think I kind of went too hard on him when he told me, because I guess he was just tired of trying to keep it to himself. So he told me, but instead of me embracing it and showing that, okay, it's going to be all right, I took it another way. So I had to kind of call him back the next day and apologize for the things I was saying, because I was like, okay, man, if that's the thing, if you're gay and stuff like that, all right, that's cool. It doesn't change the fact that you're still my brother. You know, we're still family. Because I remember the times growing up, we laughed at stuff, we played video games, we did everything else, we all that. So he's still the same person. He just his sexual preference is just different than mine. You know what I'm saying? Hold on 1 second. But you know, he came out like that. But I think that was kind of like bothering him too. Because how the rest of the family, not the immediate family, but, you know, like grandmas and uncles perceptive. And cousins, yeah, how he's going to receive like that. Yeah. So he was kind of struggling with his identity and things like that. And, you know, he did kind of had a little addiction problem. You know, I didn't know when it started, but I just noticed it when it was kind of like on the heavy side. He had his little issues and stuff. Me and him, we had conversations about it, about his use and stuff. But he was kind of one of those, just to generalize it, like functional addicts or whatnot. That makes sense?
Yes, it does. Yes,
yeah, he'll go through days without having to use. He'll go through days without using it. He'll be all right, but then I guess he'll get that itch and he'll go and do his thing, and then he's that whole different person that nobody likes. And he's the up and down, the roller coaster ride with that, what comes with that addiction. But, you know, me and him, we always was back and forth during his addictions, his high point of his addictions. I kind of matured with my relationship with him. And understood that, you know, okay, it's not his fault. It's just what he's going through. I understand he went through stuff in his life, and I guess that's the best way to think about coping. So I just try to embrace him more as a brother. Because he's, like you said, he's my younger brother, and I didn't like what was happening to him, but I didn't like seeing the things that he was going through while he was on it. And it grew, but he got some pushback from him, you know, and I wasn't blaming him. I was blaming, you know, his addiction issues,
yeah.
Right? But he started to come around because I guess he was getting sick and tired. I saw it coming, And like I said, somebody's not going to stop doing something until they get sick and tired of it. And I remember one night he was staying with me. And I picked him up and came to the house, whatever. I didn't get any questions about what he was doing, whatever, and stuff like that. He just called me for some help. So I came, got him. Didn't get into it because I didn't want him to think that it's going to be like, I told you this, that. I let him chill, just get him out of the situation, let him relax, chill, whatever. The next morning, woke up, sat down, had a serious conversation. Three-way, my other brother. So we both sat down and talked to him, let him know, hey, bro, you know, got to stop, man. It's like, you need some help, man. You can't do this on your own. You got to go to a rehab facility or something. It's that. Do it, man. You know what I'm saying? And he just poured out everything that was bothering him. And that's like the first time I actually see him like cry as a grown man. And that did something to me, you know what I'm saying? That kind of like, but yes, my brother. I'm actually talking to my brother now.
That's a beautiful thing when someone can just express and unload what they've been having weighing them down for so long because they're just so tired of keeping it with them. So that was beautiful that he was able to do that with y'all.
He's telling me how this is how people look at me, this is how I feel. And it's like, Patrick, nobody's looking at you like that. They feel like I'm a nobody, I'm this, I'm that. Like, Patrick, you're not. It's just, you're just on that stuff, man. That stuff makes you do that. When you're not on it, you're this person everybody want to be around. You help people, you do this, you do that, you're the kindest person. My daughter talks to you more than she talks to me. So I was like, oh, come on, man. So, Patrick, you're a likable person, man, you know. And like you said, he started to get better. He was, you know, getting back on his feet financially. The job was coming through. He was getting promotions at the job. He was actually getting to the point where it's like, okay, it's going to be all right. And our relationship was getting better, you know what I'm saying? Like, we could actually sit down and have conversations without arguing about dumb stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And laughing. It was cool. But like I said, coming to the unfortunate news that we got, he just went down and was supposed to do a VA appointment down in Richmond. And it was like, I want to say like about 12 at night or something like that. And got a phone call from my father. And he's like, hey, you sitting down? You know, I was like, well, what's going on? I'm thinking I'm thinking something going on with my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, man, what's going on? But then that's when he told me, he's like, man, Boston County Sheriff came to the house and they said they found Patrick unresponsive or dead down there in Richmond at somebody's house, man. And I was like, that disbelief factor came in. Like, let's stop playing. Y'all for real? Like, you know, like, y'all joking? Like, stop. Like, play. Come on.
I know those words all too well.
Yeah. You know, and like you said, he went into details saying it was they said it was an overdose. And not to tell too much, but his addiction of choice was the crystal meth stuff. You know that.
That's
rampant.
Yeah,
in the streets right now. So especially up in this area right here, man. It's especially with the low income side of the city and stuff like that. But that's the news they gave. And I went through like all these emotions just ran through me. It was anger. I was angry at him because I said to stop that stuff. I was angry at the person that was with him, like who gave it to him, who this. And, you know, I kind of want to do some John Wick shit. You know what I'm saying? Just go down there, like, all right, who gave this stuff to him? Who did this? Right. Who did it? You know. But, and then it just came onto the realization, the sadness came in. And then that's when the crying just started and then all this and all that. And it was hard, you know. And just hearing the words saying he's not here no more physically. All the memories came back of us as kids. And then the memories came back when me and him started to actually start having a relationship as brothers again and stuff like that. I was like, yo, we just started getting cool, man. Like going on. And like I said, I'm a gamer and everything. I like Street Fighter. And the new Street Fighter came out. Me and him used to play online together. And it was straight, man. But yeah, I was devastated.
Yeah. So you know, with your support system and what happened to find coping mechanisms, you know, what were some of the things you ways as the days, months, weeks went by that you had to learn or are still learning how to bring into your life to keep you from not so much not feeling that sadness, because you're going to always have that sadness, but turning it into a light for you versus something that always brings you down?
My mother, because she's the one that took it the hardest, because that's her son. Nobody wants their child to pass away before them. So, yeah, with me and, you know, my brother and my sister and my father, you know, all going through the same thing. But like I said, my mother was the one that was feeling it the worst. So I had to show some type of control, I guess, lack of better words, to be there for her and to help my parents out and, you know, my sister, you know, have them go through that and things like that. Because I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it kind of helps to have somebody there to kind of be the sense of reason and not have it all dwellers. Because we can't say that everybody can't be feeling down and out. Not saying it doesn't happen, but somebody has to be there to kind of keep things going in line. And my father, he's very good at doing that. He was hurt. And I kind of felt like, as being the older brother, I had to show support too for my mom and stuff like that. You know, let her grieve and let us, you know, take care of the things that, you know, needs to be taken care of at, and when this process is going on and things like that. So that kind of helped me deal with it a little bit, not say better, but, well, I will say better, deal with it a little bit more better. So, cause I just showed strength toward my mom and everything like that. And just to be there for her, you know, and show her that, you know, you're allowed to cry. We understand you're allowed to feel the way you feel. You know, nobody's grief is greater than another person's. You know, we just look at you like you're the mom. This is your son. So, yeah, that kind of helped.
So how are you coping now?
Let's go. I want to keep talking over him real quick.
Oh, no, you're fine. I know how it is to have a little one around that needs your attention a little more. So it's all good.
Yeah. You say, how am I coping now?
Yeah.
I'm at the acceptance stage of it, I guess. You know, the understanding that, you know, it is what it is, the logic of it and everything like that. And I kind of use his situation to kind of like warn other people that kind of was going through what he was going through to kind of show them that, hey, man, you know, there's no good outcome if you keep continuing doing what you're doing, especially when it comes to addiction and drugs and stuff like that. There are other avenues you can. Do me a favor. You do me a favor. Can you go in the room and watch the TV? And I'll be in there in a little bit. I'll put you in the bed. Okay. I'll be in there. Go get in the bed. I'll be in there. Oh, he's actually gonna do it. All right. But no, it's just to use his story to kind of help other people that's going through it to try to see if I can prevent somebody else from going through something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So, like, are you still in the military?
No, I did 6 years in the Marines. I did 4 years in the Air Force. I joined in 97 and I got out in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm up here in, you know, Northern Virginia, you know, a lot of government and contract jobs. Right now, currently with DOD, you know, with the Defense Logistics. So, you know, still somewhere with the military, but civilian side.
Do you get a chance to like mentor or talk to the troops, or maybe even some of the youth in your neighborhood about, I guess, like an outreach program where you could possibly honor your brother with going out and just sharing your story with the community and letting them know, hey, if you're going through this, or you have a family member that's going through this, you know, don't shut them out, you know, talk to them. If they want help every week, give it to them.
Right. Nothing as far as anything like organized or anything like that. As far as like talking to troops or anything like that. We're all like on that the high GS level where we work, so I'm around a bunch of like officers and stuff like that. So not really around anybody young. You know, I'm 46, probably the youngest person that I've seen working there, probably in their 30s. Something like that.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. But I do just people passing through my life. You know, if they're going through similar things, I'll give that experience and talk to them, stuff like that.
That's cool. But I know you had a little fella, so I'm not trying to take up a whole lot more of your time. One or two more questions. So, you know, do you have a point of view or an advice of anyone who's suffering with a loss like yours? Whether it be a sibling or anybody close to them, you know, it still affects them. But I know sometimes the family members are so distraught that they can't get past it. So do you have any little things that you might do just to not make it insignificant when I say pass it? But
yeah, I got you.
You know, there's little memory things or little moments where you just go off to your thought. You know, is there anything that you could offer people in what you do to cope with it?
There's a lot of things people can do. Because like I said, every scenario is different. Every situation is different. You know, the relationship with the person that they're close to is different. You know, either immediate family, a close friend, or just somebody that helped them out in life. You know, it varies. But one thing I can say is at least have somebody that you can talk to. Because that helped. Because, you know, I had family I can talk to and stuff, but I also had, like, you know, coworkers that heard the situation. They gave support. And hey, need to reach and talk, just to talk. You know what I'm saying? We ain't even got to talk about that. We can talk about something else. Just still be active with other people. Because I know some people just want to shut themselves away and just mourn by themselves and stuff. But me personally, I don't think that's a good way to the mourn. But hey, I can't speak for everybody. I'm just going off of, you know, my opinion. But surround yourself with people that has your best interest in mind, and that will help you get through it. Just like I did, you know, because yeah, I'm trying to be hard and stuff about it, but at the same time, that's still my brother, that's family. But at the same time, it's, you know, the older you are, it's just the mind frame where you're at. Because like you said, I eventually had to come to the acceptance part of it. You know, all the anger, the sadness, the, oh my God, I'm never going to see him again, all that. Yes, all that's real, whatever, but you have to come to the fact that it happened, you know.
Yeah.
Keep mourning him. Either use his experience as a lesson for other people, which I think is a good thing. Always look back on the good things that he's done. You know, because a lot of people always want to talk about negative stuff about people.
Right.
Don't do that. You know, he did a lot, you know, while he was here. And And that's one thing that's going on with this world. Everybody wants to talk about the bad stuff people have done. They don't talk about the good stuff people have done and stuff like that. Like the bad stuff out overshadows the good. And like somebody has done a lot of good stuff, you know? And that's another good way that we'll mourn about it. Think about the good times and the happy times that you had, you know? That brought a smile, and you know, we had a couple of jokes, and you know, we can laugh and stuff like, yo, remember when Patrick used to do this? And you know, that brings a smile, you know, saying to me,
I don't know how I would feel. I have 12 siblings.
Wow,
so yeah, I can only imagine.
I
would like to say hi to a couple of guests we have. Hi, Willie. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, Jen. What's up, fam? How you doing?
Wow. Hey, Jen, what's going on, y'all?
Jen said her friend's son died at 2 years old from a pool drowning, and she was supposed to be at the party, and she didn't go. That had to be devastating. The closest story I have is my oldest child's father died right before he turned four in the car accident, and he was the youngest. So wow. His family took it real hard, especially his father.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So it's always helpful to have people that you can just turn to and talk to. That's great that you do have that support. And you know, before I end everything, because we both have obligations to our children.
Nah, you're sorry.
Would you like to say any other words for wisdom? Would you like to do any shout outs?
Like I said, it's tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And like I said, I'm not speaking nothing on nobody. I'm just, you know, speaking the facts. People keep saying live your life to the fullest, but you know, just try to leave a mark on the world in a good way, you know, because like you say, you never know who's watching, who's paying attention, who you're inspiring, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I'm the type of person, I try to do stuff. Well, I don't try. I do things to help people because it's the right thing to do. It's not because, oh, look what I did. I did this. That's not me, you know what I'm saying? Because I know there was times where I needed help and, you know, stuff like that. So that's, I tried to give back because I've been through some stuff in life and I had the support systems and everything. And it's just, you try to just to give back and try to help as much as you can. Because like you said, it's and the ones that are around you, you know, especially like family and stuff, you know, families fighting and this and that, whatever. Mm-hmm. I say y'all need to squash all that and to the best of your abilities, whatever's going on, stop it, because the next day they could be gone. And then, you know, you're like, oh man, just last night I told him to go to hell and this and that, whatever. So
right. Nah, now you're beating yourself up.
Yeah, now you're beating yourself up, right. You know what I'm saying? So that's another reason why I'm glad me and my brother got our connection back like originally before Pat, because if we didn't, that would have tore me up. You know?
I can only imagine.
Cherish your loved ones when they're here, man, and tell them, if you got to go out your way, just call somebody and say, hey, man, thinking about you, love you, or hey, dog, do that. You know what I'm saying? I say that.
Well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and shut this down. And all y'all, that's my time. Thank you, Brian, for coming and sharing your special loss with us and allowing us to get an idea of who Patrick is, who he was to you, and who he is still to the world, because his memory's gonna always live on.
Still here. He put smile on people's faces. So everybody Patrick met always got a good story about him. He touched people in the right way. So
beautiful. Thank you to everyone who decided to tune in or who's gonna listen to this later. Thank you to everyone who's watching live right now. Make sure you go to the Patio with Kim podcast, wherever you stream. And while you're at it, you can like, share, and subscribe. But until next time, it's all love.
Peace out. Peace.